General Merritt Jaxton, chief of GA Starfighter Command, burly and surly, sat on a stool at the bar. His costume was a mismatch of components, a jumpsuit, once probably orange, that had been imperfectly dyed into something that was now the murky green of a lizard's innards and subsequently patched. His boots, knee-high, had glaringly obvious sheaths for holdout blasters and vibroblades clipped inside the upper cuffs. His nerf-hide flak jacket was stenciled on the back with kill markings. Ridiculous ones. Silhouettes of a city construction droid, a Sarlacc, two communications satellites, a refueling station, and an Ewok. His helmet and face mask were of identical leather and lay on the bar to his right. Senator Faust Bramson, tall, ancient, and cadaverous, occupied a stuffed chair of black leather beneath the drooping fronds of a tropical fern. He was dressed as if for a day's activities at the Senate, in a dark, expensive, and immaculate suit, but draped over the back of the chair was the red robe of an imperial throne room guard, the matching helmet resting on the floor by his feet. Over his steaming cup of caff, he gave Lesserson a cordial little nod. And then there was the newest member of their conspiracy. Lesserson saw what she was wearing and stopped where he was.
"That, my dear, is a genuinely sick joke."
Admiral Salinor Perova smiled, taking the remark as a compliment, though Lesserson had not meant it as such. A dark-skinned human woman of over-average height, her short hair tightly curled, she sat opposite Treen in a costume that was at once childlike in its crudity and very sophisticated in the offense it offered. It started with a white admiral's uniform, decades out of date, but the uniform itself was the sort one might buy for a child at a novelty costumer's. It was made in a single piece, like a loose-fitting jumpsuit of slick-woven flimsoplast, the uniform details printed on its surface in color rather than being actual components such as trousers, jacket, and buttons. On the felt tabletop before her lay the costume's other components, a simple, inexpensive mask of a Bothan head and matching gloves. She held up a hand.
"Wait, you have to get the full effect."
Her voice was surprisingly low and rich. It seemingly belonged to a much larger woman, one who might perform opera. Senator Treen shook her head sorrowfully, and theatrical in her movements, buried her face in her hands. Obviously, she had seen this before. In moments, Perova donned the mask and the gloves. Lesserson could see that the right glove was larger than the other. Perova turned to face Lesserson, then flung up her hands as if trying to take command of a meeting. Her right glove slipped off and went flying. Jaxton fielded it. Perova had already withdrawn her hand into her sleeve, so the effect was as if her hand had come flying off. She shrugged.
"Whoops."
Her voice was merry, and she broke into laughter as attractive as wine glasses shattering on a permacrete floor. She was still laughing as she pulled the mask and other glove off. Lesserson shook his head and joined Jaxton at the bar. He set his helmet on the bar to one side.
"Even sicker than I had guessed."
Jaxton looked over at him and gave a small, glum nod. Lesserson did not know Perova well. She had been maneuvered by Jaxton, Treen, and Bramson into a position within Admiral Boitu's command hierarchy after the conspiracy had been formed. And though the eventual assassination attempt on Boitu had failed, it had resulted in internal injuries, the loss of his right arm, and a coma. It had been just as successful as if it had been carried off as planned. Perova had been appointed by Chief of State Dalla as Acting Chief of Naval Operations, giving her all the power, influence, and resources she would have had if Boitu had died. Lesserson's due diligence research on the woman strongly suggested that she was competent, resourceful, and dedicated to the conspirators' common principles of order, unity, and dispassionate rule of law. But this display gave him pause. Boitu had been an impediment, an obstacle between them and their mutual goal. But he was an honorable warrior, deserving of respect, not mockery.